Sheffield from the University of Missouri Science and Technology entitled Missouri S&T Hydrogen Fuel Cell Eco Car. And let's see here. Oh, thank you. I'll help you get your talk loaded.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. I know I have a difficult challenge here between standing between you and lunch, but what I'll try to do is give you a brief overview of a very exciting program, something that is important, something that engages students, something that engages industry in a very productive way. What I'll try to do is give you a background about the history building up to this, a little bit about the E-cubed Commons. I think Chancellor Carney mentioned about that, and we've seen it on the website. Then we'll talk about the EcoCar, the next challenge. It's a series of advanced vehicle technology competitions. It's one that's new for us at Missouri S&T. In addition to that, like the previous two speakers, talking about programs where we do outreach. In this case, we'll be looking at a summer camp and along with the EcoCar, and what are some of the needs. So with that, one of the things that we've seen on the website is these thumbnails. In the lower right corner is this E-cubed Commons. And the E-cube was Chancellor Carney's coming up with a new equation, a scientific equation. It was one that took some iterations. The first equation was E squared equals C, that is energy in the environment equals civilization. After reflecting on it in some council, he changed his equation to E cubed, that is energy, the environment, and education equals civilization. And civilization we can think of here as sustainability in terms of our energy and environment. To give a little history of the important role that Missouri has played in the automotive industry, the first purpose-built gas station was constructed in St. Louis in 1905. The first gasoline-powered engine was built in Missouri as well. Route 66 in 1926. 2007 jumped forward and we had the first hydrogen fueling station. The 2008, we have the first hydrogen on-site generation station. And looking ahead, we see this. Along with that, in Missouri, we see this transformation of the automotive industry. The new word maybe is the transportation electrification. But if we look at the creation stage, acceleration of motion, revolution, globalization, and innovation, we're into this revolution of or the transformation that came out of the revolution that occurred. At the same time, we had the first sort of energy crisis in the 1970s. You saw this slide yesterday with Bob Cruz's presentation, the end of the of yesterday's invited presentations, and it shows the advanced propulsion technology strategies. I left the GM on it. I noticed that Bob had not included that on it. But if we look at the circle here, or the technology of taking the internal combustion engines and the transmission improvements that we talk about and getting efficiencies, going through the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, so we get into the electrification of the transportation system. And Angie just talked about the BEV, or the battery electric vehicles, like Smith and Kokam providing batteries. The next step beyond that, that Bob Cruz talked about yesterday, would be the hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle. And in this case, this was what the students tried to and were successful in bidding for that position, that technology, that powertrain technology. To give you a little history, my team leader on it, who's Kevin Martin sitting over there, in 2004 was on a team that was in the first National Hydrogen Association Student Design Contest. This was looking at the sort of the chicken and egg. Before we can have these vehicles, we need to have the infrastructure. So the design contest was to come up with a cookie cutter design for a hydrogen fueling station. And so that was the first involvement with our students on this type of competitive process. Following that, we received a grant through the Air Force Research Labs with funding from the Defense Logistics Agency to build a on-site generation fueling station and to acquire through a participation agreement with Ford two internal combustion hydrogen-fueled shuttle buses. This is a bridging technology from the internal combustion engine using the clean fuel, but then moving forward in terms of the infrastructure. Angie just spoke about the activities of the Federal Transit Authority, and before that we had another event where we had raising our University Transportation Center to a national transportation center, and one of the themes is this transition state fuel vehicle infrastructure. What are all the issues that go around that? In 2008, we had the project that Angie described. In 2007, we were the grand prize winner in a hydrogen airport applications. And again, that was the National Hydrogen Association Student Design Contest. And in 2009, we're here, we're talking about the EcoCar, the next challenge. And it's the only of the 17 teams, 14 in the United States, the only one in the United States that has been granted the hydrogen fuel cell as the powertrain. What the students did was add on the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle as the component. This is part of the teams, and you'll recognize some of the students that are in the photograph are also here with faculty members. The bus you may have seen parked in front of the Jesse Hall, and the blue EcoCar garage. So in this E-Cube Commons, we have not only the hydrogen fueling station as a demonstration, the EcoCar garage, this innovation center, if you will, that's driven by students, and the renewable energy transit depot. And I'll show you some visions, and we still need some help in making that a reality. So we look at the infrastructure, we look at the vehicle, and then we look at the buildings or the, if you will, this whole E-Cube Commons. How does it fit together? One of the exciting things occurred last August, August 19th to be in fact. We were fortunate to have, out of the 31 stops, two stops in Missouri of the first hydrogen road tour, starting out in Portland, Maine, and ending up in Los Angeles, California. That became our ribbon cutting ceremony for the hydrogen fueling station that has on-site generation, as well as the sort of the starting point for our EcoCar team. To give you a quick photograph, we moved very quickly. July 9th last year, we started breaking ground. 10th, we started filling. By the 23rd, we were deep in the concrete. By the 10th, we were beginning to do our installation of the hydrogen equipment of on-site generation. And the 12th, we started the garage, as seen there. 14th, we began to using some used shipping containers to make a building. Eventually, we wanted to be a LEED certified structure with renewable components as the offices and facilities and labs for the students. And on the 19th, we hosted this road tour where we had hydrogen fueled cars. The BMWs that were there, as shown in on the right there, using internal combustion. The other vehicles were all fuel cell vehicles. So, the EcoCar garage is this component that followed up this first hydrogen fueling station that has on-site generation. So that's an opportunity. But what makes our fueling station different is looking at a rural test bed for this new type of transportation. Most of the other facilities are focused at areas where the infrastructure is in major metropolitan areas. Unfortunately, the United States is a large country, and connecting the dots becomes important. The other unique capacity that we have at the station is we have multiple pathways. If we count them up, we probably have four pathways. That is, solar energy is a primary energy source. Through electrolysis, on-site generation, storage, and dispensing of our fuel. Through architectural wind turbines, that is, wind turbines, as I think Professor Crow in her presentation showed at the one of the stations, at the BP stations, wind turbines not on a tower but on an architectural structure itself. Again through the electrolysis and going through the same infrastructure storage and dispensing. And all of those we add from the renewable, add water to get the hydrogen, emissions only being water again. In addition to that, we take natural gas through a steam methane reforming process and generate hydrogen at a lower cost in terms of the production cost. There's a capital cost that can be higher, so it's a compromise of an initial cost versus the production cost. Plus, we have the capacity to bring in hydrogen that is generated at other sources or as a byproduct feedstock and dispense that into our storage system. So we can truck in the fuel much like we would with a conventional automotive fuel. So the challenge that we have for our students, taking the Joe Miner figure here and asking, are you ready for the next challenge? And the students responded to this North America Premier Collegiate Automotive Engineering Competition. It's the 46th advanced vehicle technology competition that we've had. It's a new initiative, though, for Missouri S&T. We have the car, or at least the platform for the vehicle is a 2009 Saturn View. And just recently, we found out that it was a slight change. We're going to be, all the 17 teams are going to be getting the two-mode vehicles of the Saturn View. We have hydrogen, that is, we have the, as the students say, got hydrogen at the fueling station. And we were selected by competitive bids on technology reports to receive the only GM fuel cell for the U.S. teams. We do have a competitor, one that broke the ground last time, that's the University of Waterloo in Canada. The response, as I said, was really fantastic. We had 130 students showed up to our opening night, and we've engaged not only undergraduate students, not only engineering students, business students, and freshmen through PhD students. I think at last count we had 15 different majors represented in the program. To give you an example of the type of selection process the students had to go through, it wasn't like they simply said, okay, we want this technology. They had to go through the analysis, looking at hybrid internal combustion engines, a compression ignited or spark ignited. We looked at electric vehicles. And so some of the teams, some of the other 16 teams, have these technologies. We knew what the vision was of most of the automotive manufacturers, even for the near future. And we worked hard to make that happen. And we've been very fortunate to, at the end of the selection day, last February, to be the recipient of the U.S. Team to receive that. In addition to that, the students are using existing tools, but because of the platform, having to develop some models that are unique to our vehicle design. So they're using one that's called PSAT. It stands for Powertrain System Analysis Toolkit from Argonne National Laboratories. It's sort of the benchmarking tool to evaluate the powertrain in a forward-looking model. And it gives lots and lots of details. In addition to that, we use other models such as that may have been referenced earlier, the GREET analysis, which allows us to look at a well-to-wheel analysis on the emissions and the characteristics. The powertrain allows us to do more with the drive cycle. The other is look at the infrastructure, if you will. In addition to that, we've looking at the types of accessories. And one of the questions that was raised earlier was what was the impact on the air conditioning system. And one of the concepts being looked at is considered using a Peltier effect, the climate control seats. It's been studied by the Department of Energy that if we were to deploy those seats on conventional vehicles, we'd get at least a 12% saving in fuel performance. So the technologies go beyond the powertrain. It's also the auxiliary equipment. We have competitions. We look at the productivity, the production unit of view, look at what the production requirements for the competition and what our vehicle do. So actually, the vehicle outperforms in many ways a production vehicle in terms of simulation. These are the components. It goes through the hydrogen sword, the battery systems, much like COCAM. We were selected to receive the A123. One of the teams is being supported by COCAM. In addition to that, we have these very exciting things, and that is to have high school students. And, some years ago, my daughter went to a camp in an aerospace camp at Cape Canaveral, and then took her to Huntsville for the week. And I came back, and with some help people here in the Extension Department in Columbia, we had the first aerospace camp in 1999. Much like that, we want to do the same thing here with the EcoCar pre-college summer camp, nationwide search for these people. We're asking to submit application forms, resumes, one page why to do this, letters of recommendation. So we want it to be a selective camp, very high powered and compressive. We have some competition sponsors. These are the competition sponsors at different level. The teams need additional sponsors. And again, I like my colleagues before, if you're interested, we're more than happy to help find out ways to partner. This is our garage. One of the partners is Killark. They're helping us with the hazardous electric equipment in the garage as part of a design project and then supply that equipment. This is this exciting renewable energy transit depot where we take four shipping containers, stack it into a building, and we have a small business that competed in the solar decathlon in 2005. They weren't the winners, but they won the competition that they competed on, and that is to have the first solar hydrogen house in the United States. Empower CES is a company on Long Island now. We hired them to help be the integrators of renewable energy, solar, and wind with the on-site generation of the hydrogen through electrolysis, and have the structure that hopefully will become someday a LEED certified, if not better. So this is our brochure of getting people involved, what the benefits everyone. Friends of the EcoCar looking for partners in helping this program move forward. We want to invite you to join us, hop on board. It's going to be an exciting ride. And if you want to see lots of exciting movies, Edward sitting over there is very creative. Not only is he a good engineer, but he's also a good movie maker. And I want to thank you about this opportunity. And a closing slide is maybe answer the first question. Hydrogen can be domestically produced in whatever quantities you want. We already make 9 million tons of hydrogen per year in the USA, enough to power at least 35 million vehicles today. From an environmental sustainability, from an environmental stewardship, from an energy independent standpoint, hydrogen absolutely makes sense. That's Paul Brubaker, Administrator, U.S. Department of Transportation. RITA, that stands for Research, Innovation, Technology Administration. That was at the speech at the opening day last year, August 19th. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Maybe time for one question, if there's a quick question before we break. Otherwise, there will be ample time, of course, to speak with all the speakers over lunch. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you all. We will have two very exciting talks right after lunch. Please be sure and fill out an evaluation form. I think they're available in the back on these tables.